if you're a little person and you want to go back to sit somewhere else, please feel free to do that. John chapter 7, and I'm going to read from verse 37. It says, on the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, let anyone who's thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. On hearing his words, some people said, surely this man is a prophet. Others said, he is the Messiah. Still others said, how can the Messiah come from Galilee? Does Scripture not say that the Messiah will come from David's descendants and from Bethlehem, the town where David lived? Thus the people were divided because of Jesus. Some wanted to seize him, but no one laid a hand on him. Jesus turns up at the Festival of Tabernacles, and on the last day stands and says, if anybody's thirsty, come to me and drink. Anyone who believes in me, out of them will flow rivers of living water. So here's the conditions. Be anyone. Most of us would like to think of ourselves as somebody, because that would be almost getting above our station. But we'd include ourselves in the group anyone. I am a person, so I am included in the group, anyone. Jesus is at the Festival of Tabernacles amongst a group of people who want to kill him. John 7 and verse 1 says Jesus went around in Galilee. He did not want to go about in Judea because the Jewish leaders there were looking for a way to kill him. It says further on that halfway through the festival, he turns up. Verse 25 says, at that point, some people of Jerusalem began to ask, isn't this the man they are trying to kill? Verse 30, at this they tried to seize him, but no one laid a hand on him because his hour had not yet come. They're trying to kill him. They're not big fans of him. They're not a pleasant group of people necessarily. There's some among them who certainly don't like him. Yet his invitation is, anyone who's thirsty, come. Anyone who's thirsty. And I think some of us are often keen to explain why it's not us. Why God wouldn't use us, move on us in that way, do all that he might. But whoever you are, whatever you've done, whatever your story is, if you're thirsty, the invitation is come. Paul describes himself in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15 as the worst of sinners. That might be your view of yourself. The invitation is, if you're thirsty, come. And so in the presence of his enemies, Jesus says, if anyone's thirsty, come to me. So the second condition is, you need to recognize your thirst. You need to know your need. That's the only condition. Are you thirsty? Come. Are you dissatisfied? Is it not all that you might have expected? Come. Do you believe there's something more? Come. So he invites people to come to him because he is the source. He is what satisfies. Jesus says in John 6 and verse 35, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. As far as he's concerned, he's it. Let me make a couple of statements that might sound reasonably harsh. I think too many of us have settled for living with thirst. Or having momentary satisfaction. That's not the promise when you come to him. The promise is that you would never thirst, that you would be fully satisfied. But I also wonder if part of the issue is that sometimes we don't actually go to him. This is not about being here. It's not about enduring my ministry. It isn't about what the word for today says. It's about coming to him. To the source. And there's a danger that sometimes I'm going to suggest what happens is we find ourselves going to others for him. And our dissatisfaction sometimes with churches that we want the church to give us him. Nothing will be able to replace you going to him directly. Nothing. The best conferences, the best meetings. If we have an incredible meeting this morning, you still need to come to him directly. You have been given access to him. You approach him. I am not your priest this morning. I do not mediate between you and God. There is only one high priest. Go to him. And drink. I think sometimes our coming to him is more about us satisfying him than him satisfying us. I think sometimes we're more concerned about telling him how right we're getting it than drinking from him and receiving from him. I think We might be more like the Pharisee in Luke 18. Who's thanking God that we're not like everybody else who's so bad. Rather than the tax collector pleading to receive the mercy of God as a sinner. See, actually, I'm going to suggest I find myself at times before the throne of grace to justify myself, not to receive mercy and grace to find help when I need it. Sometimes I actually find myself coming to him because I think that's what he expects of me. And so I've ticked that box and satisfied him. I think I sometimes find myself coming to him in order to convince myself I'm a good Christian. And sometimes I think I'm like the rich young ruler, where I want to tell him how I'm nailing it. What must I do to inherit eternal life? You know what the law says. I've done all of this since my youth. I'm getting this right, God. And he says, one thing you lack. Sell everything and come follow me. And what I find in myself is actually, I might come to him and sometimes leave disappointed because he's highlighted I'm not everything I was claiming to be in coming to him. There is no question for me this morning. I am a sinner, saved by grace, standing before the throne of a gracious God who's committed to my life. And sometimes I think I get that the wrong way around and I think I'm doing something for him when actually what he wants to do is something for me. Sometimes you need to come and drink from him. You need to come expecting to receive from him. You're not coming to satisfy his desires. You're coming because you need him. And if there's ever a verse I think helps with that, 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 26. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of the world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. I came to him because of my need of him. I came to him initially to receive. And there's a danger that as we progress on the journey, actually we start to think we are a bit wise. And we are a bit, and we've got it all a bit together. Think of what you were when you were called. Think of the desperation you had for him when you cried out to him to save you. Because you're coming to him to drink, to receive. John 1:16 says, for of his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. And his commitment is to satisfy the thirsty and those who are hungry. He says, whoever believes in me, as it is written in the scriptures, rivers of living water will flow from within them. In coming to Christ, I don't just get a drink. He doesn't just fill my cup. You okay? Rivers of living water flow from within me. Rivers of living water. It's abundant. It's miraculous. My thirst can be satisfied forever in Christ. The festival that Jesus is at is an 8-day festival. And it celebrates God's faithfulness to the Israelites in the wilderness. And because it coincides with harvest, also his faithfulness in harvest. But there's this procession that happened every day during the festival, where water was central to a ceremonial procession. Every day they drew water out of a pool and poured it onto the altar. And it was meant to be both in remembrance of the water that flowed from the rock in the wilderness, and in hope of the prophetic promise of God's Spirit. In Ezekiel 47, there is a picture painted of water flowing from the temple as a prophetic word. And so they do this thing where they're pouring water to remember the one who caused water to come out of the rock. 1 Corinthians 10 tells me Christ is that rock. And he has the capacity to cause rivers of living water to flow out of me. John 4 and verse 13 says, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. It's not stagnant. It's not limited. It's not contained. And it flows from within you out. What happens in you is not contained in you. So you know that out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. That Paul prays that the God of hope might fill you with all joy and peace, so that you can overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Rivers of living water that are flowing from within you flow out of you. To others. To those around you. Not by deliberate intention on your part, but because the river has to go somewhere. Not because you're trying really hard, but because there's something flowing from you. And this isn't a new idea as far as Jesus is concerned. This is what Scripture said. There isn't any Scripture that says that directly and explicitly. But Ezekiel 47 verses 1 to 12 portray this picture of life-giving, healing water flowing from the temple and becoming a river. And you'll know 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 16 makes it crystal clear, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Life-giving, healing water is meant to flow out of you. Isaiah 58 and verse 11 says, the Lord will always guide you. He will satisfy you in a sun-scorched land and strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. And all of this rivers of living water flowing from within you because you believe in him. John says, by this he meant the Spirit, who they were later to receive. We're Pentecostals. We're Pentecostals, right? If you didn't know that about us, surprise. Most of us who've been walking with God for a while would say we've been baptized in the Spirit. We've had an encounter with him. Some of us are still thirsty. Some of us don't know if we've experienced the rivers of living water flowing from us, in truth. Some of us read John 7 and think, that isn't the experience I've had. It might just be me. But there's a reality of something Jesus is offering here that I don't know I've ever encountered in anybody. I want that. I want it. I want to come to him with my thirst and be satisfied by him. And I want, because I believe in him, rivers of living water to flow out of me. I don't want them to be contained. I don't want them to dry up sometimes. I don't want to feel like I have to get to another event or conference or meeting. I don't feel like I have to have somebody else pray for me. I want to be coming to him and being filled. Acts 2, the Spirit comes. And Peter makes it explicitly clear in verse 39. This promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. And Ephesians 5 verse 18 invites me to be being filled with the Spirit. To be being filled with the Spirit. To continually be receiving. The source is Him. The source is Him. Please don't have any question about that this morning. I wonder if part of my disappointment has been that I've gone to other sources sometimes and expected they can do it for me. Let me be honest with you. I wonder sometimes if my disappointment has been that I haven't kept coming to Him. I wonder if actually part of my disappointment is the fact that I expected to come here. I expected to go there. I expected to watch this, to be prayed for by this person, to engage with this thing. So I want to invite you to respond this morning. I'm not going to do anything for you. What happens in this room won't do anything for you. You need to go to Him to confess that you are thirsty, to acknowledge your need of Him. You might need to repent of some stuff. You might need to acknowledge that there's some stuff in your life that you've been living with that needs to go. But you are coming to Him, the source of anything that's going to flow through you that's meaningful. I know I'm not the only person in this room who's thirsty. I have no doubt. And I'm very confident, and I mean this in no way offensively, that I'm not the only person who doesn't think rivers of living water are flowing out of me. And politely, some of you who do might be a bit deluded. I want to live my life never thirsting because He promises to satisfy. I want to live my life in an experience with Christ that fills me with the Spirit and it flows out of me, that it affects the people around me, that it affects the way I live, that it impacts the community I belong to, the workplace I find myself in, the people I encounter day in, day out. I quite like the idea of wandering down the street in my shadow healing people. Let me just be honest with you. I quite fancy that. I don't mind giving the whole teleportation thing a go like Philip. I mean, I'm up for it. But He's the source. It's the pursuit of Him. It is coming to Him. So maybe I need to put some other stuff down because it's not Him. Maybe I need to stop thinking I'm satisfying him in my devotional time when actually what I need to be doing is asking him to move in my life, to tell him I'm thirsty. I'm not reading my Bible because I have to. I'm reading my Bible because I need you, Lord. Rivers of living water. Rivers of living water. Rivers of living water. What might that do? What might that do? I am not a river expert. I don't even know what the technical term for that would be. But here's what I understand. As they flow, they get bigger. The source is always the smallest point. As they flow, they get the impact that rivers of living water flowing from you might have, you can't begin to fathom. The God of the exceedingly abundantly more. More than you have the capacity to imagine. What might he do with the rivers of living water that flow from you? So I'm going to shut up. We'll worship. I'm going to try and make some space for you to wait on God. If you need to go, if you've got other places to be, feel free to do that. But it doesn't start and end here. Go to him. Go to him. You're thirsty, go to him.